Good morning, everybody. I'm continuing my series on Psalms, and I have another three Psalms I love. And so I tell you, this Psalm 19 is something I have to preach, because 1 year ago I was about to preach this sermon. And then a former DTS Dallas Seminary professor, Dr. Kuruvilla, came and preached this 3 weeks before I did. So I wouldn't want to crash. So I showed it 1 year, 1 year later, and he came again this last month, so I was hoping we don't clash in another sermon. And 3 weeks ago, when I was in Mandarin Fellowship, a speaker came and spoke on Psalms 19 too. I'm like saying I better preach before everybody comes and steal my ideas, okay? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you, Lord, that you are good. Lord, sometimes with all the trouble in the world, we forgot how much you have spoken to us and still speak to us. May you speak to us this morning too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, a magazine commissioned this survey. 3,000 people replied to this question. Have you heard the voice? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you heard God speaking to you? And here are the results. It's multiple choice, but the most people chose were number one, have you ever heard God's voice? Yes, 68%. How would you describe God's voice? A thought or idea that I wouldn't have had on my own, 40%. What does God's voice sound like? Quiet, 42%. When do you hear God's voice? A few times throughout my life, 69%. Where do you hear God's voice? Praying, 40%. What does God talk about? Family, 58%. How do you react to God's voice? And what do you do? Do what God says, 63%. In theology, we distinguish between general revelation from nature and God's special revelation in His Word. General revelation is God's universal, non-verbal, speak directly to you, disclosure of His existence, His power and glory throughout nature, history, and the human conscience. That's general revelation, but God speaks to everybody. But in special revelation, it means God's word, God's law, okay, that we have in the Bible. And it can also refer to God's direct revelation to you. Anyway, Psalms 19 is famous. It's one of, some people quote it as the one of the greatest poem of the Psalter or the Psalms. Okay, and the lyrics are called preeminent lyrics of the Psalter. And today we're gonna see in the first part, general revelation, God speaking through nature. And the second part is God speaking through us through His Word. And the final part is our application, how we accept God's Word. Now, how does God reveal Himself to us, to nature, the laws of nature, and to the law of Moses? What is the purpose of God's revelation? Why is God still speaking to us today? So I'm going to go through this. The first point is from the passage is to herald His word, proclaim or declare His word. Let's read verses 1 through 6. 1, 2, 3. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from His heat. I'll tell you Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson's story. They went on a camping trip, and after a good meal and a good drink, they crawled into their tent and they went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes awoke and nudged his friend. Watson, Watson, look up and tell me what you see. And Watson replied, I see millions and millions of stars. And Holmes said, what does that tell you, Watson? Watson thought about it for a while and then replied, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observed that Saturn is within the Leo constellation. Chronologically, I observed that it's nighttime, 3 a.m. on June the 14th. Meteorologically, the air appears dry. I suspect we'll have a beautiful day. Why do you ask, Holmes? What does it tell you, Holmes? And Holmes says, Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent. Okay. You couldn't see the stars if you are in the tent. Now, what does nature tell you? You see the stars, you see the sun, you see the moon. What does nature want to tell us? Okay. The opening verses is a lot of comparison. Sometimes in Bible we call it parallelism. When I study Bible study at seminary, we call it interchange. Now, you look at the heavens declare the glory of God, parallels with the skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech, parallel with night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech parallel with language. Their voice goes out into all the earth, parallel with the words to the end of the world. A bridegroom, parallels with like a champion, right, rejoicing to run his course, rises one end and makes a circuit to the other. Other in Greek, in Hebrew, is ends in feminine. Okay, so it's very, very beautiful poem. But what does it want to tell us? Next chart, please. Now, this, I almost cracked my head doing this chart, okay? And try to outdo AI. So, now, heavens talks about cosmos, right? His power, the glory of God talks about his power. He has spoken, he has declared, and he has proclaimed his glory, proclaim the work of his hands, and he does it publicly. Okay, verse 2, day and night, it's consistent. Okay, the word utter in Hebrew means profusion, means pour forth, not just utter, abundance of it. And knowledge means he's known to everybody. And day and night is predictable. Okay, speech and language talks about communication. We can hear it, perceive it, and when you hear it, it's very poignant. It speaks to your heart. All the earth talks about continuation. It's prominence. And verse 4 talks about the sun. The sun, you're gone from one end to the other. It's very purposeful, the way he works. And when you and the bridegroom rejoice, he's cheer. He runs, he persists in his running. And he rejoices, it was felt. And he was, because it's felt, it's very passionate. When he sees everything around him, and the sun in the circuit is a course, it's a path that the sun goes, and it's not hidden, it's shown everywhere, it's pervasive everywhere. Isn't that a beautiful poem? Yeah, I almost cracked my head trying to see what does Psalm 18 when tells us, and when you put it in the chart, it's so beautiful. Okay, and this talks about, and in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 to 22, it says this, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without what?
Excuse.
Laws of nature tell us about God. Sometimes we don't see God. But God put his in pictorial, picturesque, paranormically, his creation to tell you his existence. So, God in nature tells us he's omnipotent. Tells us his omniscient, tells us his omnipresent, okay? He's very expressive, he's very extroverted, he's very eloquent about his existence. So that man cannot say, I don't see God, but you see his display, you see the work of his hands, okay? So we can only experience From nature, we can experience him in an indirect way. We can exalt him, and we can enjoy the work of his hands. Everything in creation, from small to big, from seen to unseen, from the short-lived to the die-hard, everything points to God's attributes, God's activity, and points to his authority in our life. So the first thing is that we herald his work. We, as creation, we proclaim. And herald means proclaim. Herald the work of his hands. And today, by the end of today's sermon, I want you to recite for me verse 1, okay? Verse 1, this is a very beautiful psalm. So I just need you to recite verse 1 at the end, okay? The heavens, what? Proclaim. The heavens, go back to the Bible. Because this is NIV, okay? You guys recited the King James Version. Oh, guys, okay? Verse 1, okay? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. One more time. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Okay, close your eyes. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Okay, I'll test you again. Okay, first is that we herald his work in creation. Second point is that we are to hear his word. Okay, not just say it's good, but we are supposed to hear his word. This is special revelation. Just now was general revelation. Let's read. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Here are some metaphors of the Word of God from the Bible. Next PPT, okay. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Together, is not my Word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend himself. The Word of God is like a surgical double-edged knife. It pierces and penetrates to the accessible places of in life. God's Word is like a seed planted in your heart. Now, next PPT, please. Verses 7 and 9 is very, very complicated, okay? It's a sixfold repetition of the phrase of the Lord. Do you see it? Of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord. That's how it's written, okay? And the first is talk about the law of the Lord, and then verse 7, statutes, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the ordinances of the Lord. Okay, this is very beautifully written. Okay, now what does the verse 7, the law in Hebrew is Torah. Okay, it means the demands of our life. And what does it do? It penetrates your soul, revives the soul. Okay, and it making you is perfect. Perfect means that it's very distinguished, excellent. There's no flaw to the law. Okay, and the statutes of law, statutes are in modern terms, legalism is deposition. When you come to the deposition, and it makes you wise in your thinking. Just now it's for the soul. Now it's for your thinking. Wise means it is for your discernment. Okay. The next one. The precepts of the law are right, giving joy to the heart. Precepts in Hebrew is like coming to visit you. It's deployment. Okay, coming to visit you. It's not passive. Okay, and this is for the heart. And what does it give you? It makes you joy, delight. It gives you delight. And the verse 8, the commands. Command is a duty, the mitzvah in Hebrew, okay? It's for the eyes. And it gives you light. It helps you diagnose your life. And the fear of the Lord, fear is in devotion. It helps you in your instinct. The first thing you think about, whatever you do, whatever choices you make, to have the fear of the Lord. And it's forever. It's durability. Okay. The ordinances of the Lord, ordinance means the decisions, okay, and judgments in old English, King James judgments. Okay. Judgments means it's pierced into your conscience. It helps you to be righteous and give you deliverance. Okay. So now you know what it is to outdo AI, huh? To think more than AI. And what happens is that the law of the Lord, sometimes you think it's not good, but verses 10 onwards is it's honey and gold. Okay? It's gold and honey. It's gold and honey. How much is gold worth now? I tell you this story. When I first preached, like in 1990s, gold was $300. Now it's like 5,000, I think. Something like that. Yeah. It's like gold. The law of the Lord is gold. Your Bible is gold. Have you spent a lot of time reading the Bible? It's gold. It's more than pure gold. Okay? It's more than gold. All this contrast. It's honey. It's sweeter than honey. Okay? Sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey means that it's oozing. It's outpouring. It's overflowing. That's how precious it is. Okay? It is very, very good. Okay? Gold is solid. Okay? Honey is liquid. Isn't that beautiful to contrast? Gold is expensive. Honey can be every day. Can be part of your diet, right? Gold is solid. Okay? But honey is sweet. So beautiful. Okay? What does it want to tell us? Verses 11 and 12. Can we go back to the Bible? Verses 11 and 12. Okay? By them is the servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Okay? It's not there for show. It is there to guide our lives, to guard ourselves from sin. It's there to govern of every step of the way. Okay, so may the word of God be in your heart as well as in your head. Okay. And you see that just now, that Bible verse, come back again to the text. By keeping them, there is great reward. Okay, your servant warned. We are all servants. In fact, this one mentioned servant, your servant twice. We are supposed to serve him. Okay, it's supposed to be, we are keeping us safe in this world today, okay? Let the word of God be permanent in your life, right? Not just a passing fad, okay? Because the word of God is perfect. It's everything. It's reviving the soul. So nothing is more precious, more powerful, more pointed than the word of God, okay? It's practical too, okay? Especially young people. I read the Bible, the whole Bible after I believe, and I was 17, I read it, finished it in 1 or 2 months. It's so beautiful. Oh, but I skipped the prophets, the four prophets, I must confess. Okay, the last thing. The first thing is that we are to herald his work. Second is what? Second is that hear his word. Okay, the last one is to honor, the last point, the last paragraph, last to honor his will. Okay, let's read. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless innocent and great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, red means that originally it is imperative in Hebrew, but in English and Chinese we cannot see. Okay. Blue is an indirect imperative. Instead of saying may, it is original. If you go to King James, it's let. May is, okay, can choose, right? Let is more like an indirect imperative. And verse 14, some of you have heard this in song before. Have you heard this song? Boney M, My Generation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. This is the verse, okay? This is very beautiful, okay? And so, today we talk about general revelation. We talk about special revelation. But from now on, it's going to change the tone. It's not just about nature. It's not about law. The tone in the personal pronouns will change to what? My. Me. My in verse 12. Me in verse 13. I, verse 13. Verse 14. My mouth, my heart, my rock, my redeemer. General revelation is out there somewhere. The law is also out there somewhere nearer to your eyes. But now it's about you. You and God's relationship. Okay? And next PPT, please. This is the first imperative, forgive. Forgive in Hebrew is purge, pardon all my hidden faults, all my pretense. Keep is to preserve me, prevents me from doing bad things. And the word keep, the willful sins, is actually from the word pride. Keep me from my pride. Okay, so this is what is important, that we continue to ask the Lord, okay, in our lives. Not just say, nature is great, the word is great, but what does it do to you? How does it affect, I say the three H, your heart, your head, and your habits? How does it apply to you? And so, the psalmist, after seeing creation, after reading the word of the law, he said, it's for me. Okay? It's for me. Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from hidden sins. And more importantly, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to him every day and every night. Okay? The sermon is ended. Now we go into the application part. Next, PBD. How does God speak to us today? The five I. Actually, it's in, I-N. In what? See if you can. What's in from Scripture? What's the first I? Inspiration from Scripture. Okay. As believers, we don't instantly go to creation to tell us what God is speaking to us. The first thing is that we must read the Bible. Inspiration from Scripture. What is second I? Very good. Indwelling of the Spirit. Okay. The Spirit will help you to guide you, govern you, and to guide your life. So that you, because there are a lot of New Age beliefs, they are very, very subjective, and they don't have the Bible, and they don't have the Spirit. This is about feelings, emotions, and instincts. But we don't. Okay, we have to let our feelings, emotions, and instinct be guided by the Spirit. Not your inner spirit, but the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, this is, what is I? Prayer. Intercession, okay? To have people to pray for you, and you pray for, don't just count on just just flip the Bible and say, oh, this is it. Okay. Someone say, flip the Bible and Jesus hang himself. What are you going to do? Okay, you cannot. So you cannot flip the Bible. You must also pray. Okay, in the early church, two things are most important: the Word of God and prayer. Okay, so okay, the fourth one. This is debatable. Instruction from church. Okay, what is instruction? Sometimes we don't want the church to tell us anything, but when you come here on Sunday, this is instruction, right? So we have to see. How? What the pastor say? What the church leader say? What your fellowship leader is trying to help you? Okay, so you have to also be able to listen to the teachings, the doctrines, and also Bible study, and they help each other. But church is part of how God speaks to you. New Ager, they don't want the church; they just want God. They don't want the church. Okay, but church is part of our life. Okay, without church, it's really very little feedback you can get from people. Okay, what's the last one? Wisdom to give us what? Insight. Okay, insights of wisdom. At first, I want to say insight from family, friends, or even foes, but sometimes our family, friends, and foes don't teach us the right things. So we take the wisdom from what the situation or the circumstances tell us. So let's pray, and that may you be guided by the Spirit, may you be guided by the Word of God, and brothers and sisters in church, and also their wisdom. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, because, Lord, sometimes we don't see you, and many times we don't experience you, and few, Lord, hear you speaking audibly to them. But we know, Lord, that you're speaking to us, Lord. You're speaking to us in our family, from our friends, and even sometimes our foes, Lord. And you're teaching us through the Bible, from pastors, from cell group leaders, and from people who love us. Lord, it's a very, very long experience for us. Lord, sometimes we just want to go out and do our own thing, Lord, but as believers, we are guided by your Spirit, Lord. And we do hear from you, Lord, when we pray, Lord. And you are conscious, Lord. You are commitment, Lord. And Lord, you are comprehension. You know that without you, we can never do anything right. All the world will be in judgment. All the world will be in debate. And all the world in controversy. Lord, but we have you, Lord. We have your word, we have the church, Lord, we have prayer, and we have words of insight, Lord. And may the words of our heart and meditation of heart, mouth and meditation of heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Let's recite verse 1 again. The heavens, what? Declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands.